listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Looking for Sensei Wright. The negative effects of dating at the Martial Arts Academy. One of the strongest drives we have as humans is the drive to procreate. This manifests in some people as a quest to find a mate, perhaps more for some women than for some men. It manifests in other people as a desire to find attractive partners for recreational sex. Some folks are looking for some of both. When these drives are in play at the Martial Arts Academy, they often cause a lot of trouble. As both an instructor and a businessman who owns an academy, I have seen this trouble play out far too many times. Normally, when you see that a friend of yours is in a new relationship, you're happy for them. But, as an instructor, when I see a relationship begin between two of my students, my first reaction is frustration that I will probably lose one of them as a student, and maybe both of them. How does that happen? Let's look at the math. What are the odds that any given dating relationship will last more than a few months? I think most of you will agree that not many will last that long. After all, that's the nature of the hunt for a partner. So, assuming that the majority of dating relationships will be short-lived, how will the two students of my academy who were once dating and are now no longer dating interact with each other as potential training partners? At this point, you might say that adults should be able to move on and behave like adults when interacting with former significant others. You're right, they should. But experience reveals that all too often they don't. What happens more often is that one or both of the students starts avoiding classes where the other might be present. After all, martial arts training by its very nature involves physical contact, often fairly intimate physical contact. That can be awkward enough for some students without the added complication of the presence of a former paramour. Imagine training in jiu-jitsu class and being in your ex-girlfriend's guard. In addition to the potentially intimate contact is potentially violent contact. Imagine how awkward it might be to spar with your ex-boyfriend. Was that last kick a little harder than it needed to be? Should you say something? Such situations create additional inconvenience and drama in a modern world already full of inconveniences and drama. Over time, it's much easier, at least from the student's viewpoint, to find another academy, or even to cease martial arts training altogether. Now, you might suggest to me as the instructor that I try to keep the former lovers separate when they're in class together. Well, first of all, that assumes that I'm aware that the students had severed their relationship, and even assumes that I'm aware that they had a relationship in the first place. Second, it's already difficult enough, as an instructor, trying to detect and remember which students dislike which other students, without adding ex-lovers into the mix. Another variation of this theme happens when the instructor dates a student. Let me state up front, for credibility's sake, that my wife of 34 years started out as my student. In my defense, in those days I taught only private lessons, so there were no other students for her to interact with. Having said that, it should be obvious that a martial arts instructor who teaches group classes might be wise to refrain from seeking dating partners from among his or her students. Imagine how complicated and fraught with potential drama it is for the other students when they interact with the teacher's sweetheart. And of course, if you were to then break up with the student, you have almost surely lost a student. In addition to the more prosaic examples of simply creating an awkward training situation or losing students, let me describe some examples of extreme dating behavior at a few martial arts academies. To begin the first story, I must point out that I once, like so many instructors, shared a training facility with another instructor. I must further point out that this other instructor had a particular student that was an especially foul excuse for a Homo sapiens. The misdeeds committed by this fellow could fill an entire episode of this podcast, and maybe someday they will. The infuriating part was that his instructor seemed to take a blind eye to the vast majority of this fellow's transgressions. In any case, I'll not use this miscreant's real name here, so let's give him a pseudonym, a fake name. Let's make his first name Waste, as in waste product, or waste disposal. See, let's make his middle initial the letter O, and his last name Protoplasm. Yes, yes, Waste O Protoplasm it is. Anyway, a young lady began training with me during that time. I even spoke with her at the beginning about the dangers of dating within the academy. She reassured me that she had been through a series of violent and abusive relationships and was most certainly not at my academy with the intention of seeking a romantic partner. As the weeks progressed, she proved to be a serious and diligent student, easy to work with. She frequently expressed her satisfaction and even her delight with her growing skills and self-confidence. And then she simply disappeared from the academy. No advance notice, no mention of dissatisfaction or money trouble. Students come and go all the time at martial arts academies, but this time it struck me as strange. She had elected to omit a phone number on her beginning student registration form, so I had no way to reach her and ask if anything was wrong. More than a year later, she called me and asked how I was doing. I told her that I was fine. She then apologized for her sudden disappearance and began to explain. This is where our friend Waste O Protoplasm comes into the story. Apparently, Mr. Protoplasm had asked my student if she would go out with him on a date. She had politely turned him down. His response to her refusal was to begin stalking her, parking outside her house, following her in his car, etc. This behavior, quite understandably, made her loath to show up at my academy, since Mr. Protoplasm spent a great deal of time there. She then asked if, since it was more than a year later, the dishonorable Mr. Waste O Protoplasm was still frequenting the academy. I grudgingly told her that indeed he was. I also told her that it was probably beyond my power to get rid of him. I then recommended another local martial arts academy to her and urged her to continue training. As you can imagine, I was not happy. As soon as I hung up, I spoke to Mr. Protoplasm's instructor about this. He assured me that he would look into it. He took his sweet time, and when he finally got back to me, he told me that Mr. Protoplasm denied all of it, and that there was nothing he could do, since it was the word of his student against the word of mine. I pointed out that the young lady had no reason to lie. There was no logical reason that she would concoct such a story. He made sympathetic noises, but insisted that there was nothing he could do. This was only one of many problems that eventually led me to seek out another facility at which to train my students. I'm sure the bitter irony of this story is not lost on you. This poor woman was seeking a safe place to learn to protect herself from crazy men and to help feel better about herself, and instead was once again victimized by yet another crazy man. The second story takes place at a martial arts seminar in the Midwestern U.S. One logistical detail you should know is that martial arts seminars are usually hosted by a particular academy, which brings in the big-name instructor who teaches the actual seminar. This particular event was a very big one with a very important instructor. Martial artists from all over North America, including myself and a student of mine, had traveled to attend. After a morning of excellent instruction and training, we broke for lunch. My student and I took his car to a nearby restaurant. After a nice lunch, we drove back to the seminar venue to resume training. But as we neared the venue, we saw a large squadron of police cars parked with emergency lights flashing around the parking lot. We then saw several men being escorted from the premises in handcuffs. We navigated past the squad cars and crowds of curious onlookers to return to the room where the seminar was taking place. There were several police officers in the room interviewing people, filling out forms, and tying up last-minute loose ends from whatever it was that had happened. The seminar instructor was there and was obviously not happy. I asked one of my fellow seminar attendees what was going on. He told me that the head instructor of the local academy that was hosting the seminar had been attacked by a man who was not there for the seminar. The story behind all this involved a woman who had once trained at the hosting academy. Apparently, she was of the type that used sex to achieve her ends in life. She had worked her way through many of the male students at the hosting academy before jumping ship to a rival local academy where she repeated this process until finally reaching the bed of its head instructor. Once there, she apparently whispered some pretty inflammatory things into his ear about the head instructor of the previous academy, and that she wanted him to do something about it. What he chose to do was to track down the target of his new girlfriend's obsession at the seminar that he was hosting and attack him there. When he actually followed through on this childish idea and committed the act of battery, a small melee ensued as various seminar participants grabbed the two fighters in an attempt to break up the fight, and the fight spread to some of them. By the time my student and I had arrived, so had the police, and they had quickly finished the process of calming things down. Imagine what this looked like to the police when they arrived, and what it made them think of martial artists. Needless to say, the image of the martial arts and of martial artists did not get any polishing that day in that particular Midwest town. I know these two stories are a bit extreme and not typical of the problems that dating at the academy can cause, but I assure you that the less extreme examples are still problematic for the academy and the academy owner. It's hard enough to keep the doors of a commercial martial arts school open. If you like your martial arts academy and want to do your small part to help it succeed, please think twice before asking that cute student out. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain Podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.